And I want to thank our sponsor for this morning, sponsored by my neighbor, Carol Wald, in commemoration of the yahrzeit of her beloved mother, Clarice Presner. And the learning should be as an aliyah for her neshama. I want to thank Carol for her sponsorship, her generosity. Anyone wants to sponsor a future episode of talking about Tehillim, please let me know, or you can be in touch with the shul office. This morning, we are going to be studying chapter 28 of Tehillim as we go through our studies. Believe it or not, we are almost halfway through with all of Sefer Tehillim, something I never thought we would accomplish. But thank God, Baruch Hashem, we should continue to find meaning in it. I know for me personally, as I say every week, it has been nothing short of transformative, and I hope it has been for you as well, as we make our way through the timeless wisdom of David HaMelech. So chapter 28 of Tehillim is really broken up into three distinguishable parts. It's a very short chapter of Tehillim. Most of it will not be familiar to it. One of the psukim will be very familiar to you, and we'll get to that in a second. It's broken up into three parts. The first part is psukim 1 through 2, where we talk about David HaMelech's request from Hashem, that Hashem accepts his prayer. We don't know yet what the prayer is going to be. Psukim 3 through 6 is the prayer itself. And that is obviously what we'll spend a lot of time talking about. And then psukim 6 through 9 is where David HaMelech thanks Hashem for saving him from whatever it is that was bothering him. Now, one of the questions we always struggle with when discussing Tehillim is what exactly was David HaMelech speaking to? At what point of his life was he speaking to? So this, on the one hand, seems like a chapter about personal salvation, that David HaMelech clearly talks about some form of hypocrites, enemies that are stabbing him in the back, and David HaMelech is looking for a form of personal salvation. The challenge with that is the last few psukim, where we move from a very personal form of tefillah to Hashem to a global description of our relationship with Hashem. And that's why I'll just reference to you the last pasuk of this parsha, of this chapter, which, again, should be very familiar to us. Hoshia es amecha, uvarach es nachlasecha, urein v'naseim ad olam. Now, we know that pasuk. It comes up in Pesukei Zimra every morning. We know it from Sukkos, obviously, with the Hoshanos. Hoshia es am, right? We know it from there also. And those who come to Minyan and are careful about having 10 people at a Minyan know that while we're not supposed to count Jews, one of the tricks of the trade of figuring out if you have 10 men is by using this pasuk. Hoshia es amecha, uvarach es nachlasecha, urein v'naseim ad olam. 10 words in the pasuk, and so we use that as an opportunity to count Jews. There's a famous story of a Hasidic Rebbe who was never able to get a minyan. They asked him why. He says, because I never get to 10 people. They say, how can you never get to 10 people? He says, yeah. Hoshia samecha varecha ureim, 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 ureim. And he got stuck on ureim, so he never got to the 10 people. So that's just obviously a little bit of a joke, but that's the pasuk that's going to be familiar to us. And that's kind of the challenge in understanding this chapter of Tehillim, is understanding on the one hand this notion of personal salvation. Something is definitely speaking to David HaMelech as an individual, and reconciling that with the more global description of our praise of Hashem towards the end of the chapter. And again, we'll have to figure that out as we go along. The Malbim says that this chapter of Tehillim refers to something that we discussed last week. If you recall, last week, David HaMelech was constantly on the run. We discussed the Zifim, the Karaim, we discussed all these different enemies that were trying to kill David. Says the Malbim that that's exactly who we're talking about here, right? That when David felt betrayed, when David felt that his enemies were chasing him, this was the chapter of Tehillim that he recited. Malbim also entertains the possibility that it was Sheva ben Bichri, again, a moment in time when David HaMelech was betrayed. And clearly what this chapter is talking about is that David HaMelech is davening to Hashem from that moment of need, asking him for salvation. Now, what I want to do is read through the chapter. And it's a relatively short chapter. It's 9 psukim, so we'll go through it somewhat quickly. And then I want to read it through some of the Meforshim. And I want to give you one at the end, pshat, one understanding of the Radak, which I think is extremely powerful for all of us, well, I'll say 90% of us on the call, and for those of us who are anticipating the other 10%, and I'll explain what I mean in a little bit. So if that was ambiguous enough for you, then good. I've adequately teased you. Okay, chapter 28 of Tehillim. Here we go, LeDavid. So first of all, you'll notice that this starts with the word LeDavid. The Rav Hirsch points out that this is the culmination of five chapters in a row that begin with the word LeDavid. We know the one right before it, LeDavid Hashem Ori V'Yishi. Of course, that we say during the month of Elul, all the way through Shmini Atzeres. But this is the fifth and final one of that. So already you see that there's this notion of a culmination, right? LeDavid means that it applies to David, the individual, and that this means that this is the culmination of something that David HaMelech has been going through. So LeDavid, Elecha Adonai Ekra, Tsuri Al Techarash Mimeni, Pentech Hashem Mimeni, V'Nimshalti Im Yordei Vor. David HaMelech says, right, Elecha Ekra, Hashem, I cry out to you, Al Techarash Mimeni, which means don't be quiet, like don't be silent when it comes to my cry. Pentech Hashem Mimeni. Mitzuda Sion over here points out that they're both languages of shtika. Knows Hashem, don't be silent, don't be ambivalent to what it is that I'm crying you out to you. V'nimshalti im yor devor. And by silencing me, by not paying attention to me, so you're like relegating me to your devor. Like I'm finished. I'm nothing without you, Hashem. So Hashem, Elecha Hashem Ekra, Hashem, I am calling out to you, and please, right, don't be absent from what I'm calling out to you, because if you abandon me, Hashem, then I have absolutely nothing. The Malbim points out here, right, that you'll notice that there's the word Techarash and Techashe, which the Mitzudot Sion says are the same word, and that they both mean silence. The Malbim says, no, the Torah doesn't do that, right? Oftentimes the Radak will say, here, it's just for emphasis. Malbim very rarely says that. Malbim oftentimes tries to figure out the discrepancy between those two. So he says that Hamshacha, right, Techarash, means Hu Hefech Hadibur, Shehayelo Ladabir. In other words, Hashem is not talking, right? There are two forms of silence. It could be silence because I'm not talking, or he says, V'hamacharish Hu Hefech Hatshuva Shehayelo La'anos. Right? What's worse? Someone who's quiet, or someone who, like, you're asking them a question and they're ignoring you? So it's not just that Hashem is silent, but says the Malbim, Hashem, David HaMelech says, Hashem, don't ignore my pleas. Don't be aloof to me. Don't be distanced from me. Rav Hirsch points out that the word mimeni represents a form of distance from us. And so that's what we're davening to Hashem, right? If you're traveling and you need directions somewhere and you ask a person for directions, the worst thing is if they ignore you altogether. Right, that's what David HaMelech is saying here. Hashem, I'm calling out to you. Don't be distant from me. Don't be aloof from me. Don't silence yourself in response to me, because if you do, so then nimshalti im yor devor. Then I'm going to be like those who go down to the pit. And I have no future. I have no form of salvation. Pasuk 2. Shema kol tachnunai. Hashem, listen to the voice of my crying out. Bishavi elecha, when I call out to you. Binasi yadai el dvir kachecha, when I raise my hands towards your sanctuary. The Meforshim point out over here that we are talking about davening, right? When I raise my hands towards your Beis HaMikdash, says David HaMelech, Hashem, please listen to my cry. So that is Psukim 1 and 2. That is the introduction, where again, David HaMelech is asking Hashem to listen to his request. And now, again, in Pasuk 3 through 6, we get to the actual request. David HaMelech says, Al timshicheni im rishaim, v'im po'alei aven. Right, don't, timshicheni means like count me or draw me in towards the wicked people and to those who perform sins. Dovrei shalom im reyehim, v'ra'a bil vavam. Right, they speak one thing, but in their heart is something different. The Malbim points out here that we're talking about hypocrites. Right, we're talking about people who, to your face, they're smiling, hey buddy, what's going on? And the second you turn your back, they stab you in the back. So that's what the Malbim, that's what the Radak both understand as the nature of this pasuk. What's Al Tim Shecheni? Tim Shecheni is that language of drawing. So Rashi says, Al Targileni Im Rishaim. In other words, don't let me act like them. Separate me from the wicked people so that I'm not influenced by their actions, so that I'm not drawn towards their actions. You and I both know that if you see evil being done, so at first there's that shock and awe, and over time that dissipates because we get used to it. If you see something long enough, it becomes natural for you, Right? So that's what Rashi says. Al targileini imrishaim. Don't make me around. Don't put me around rishaim, because I'm nervous that I'm going to start behaving like them. I'm nervous that I'm going to start acting like them. Says the Radak a little bit differently. What's al tim shecheni? Don't draw me with the wicked. He says, shelo amus mos rishaim. In other words, what I'm trying to avoid is their punishment. It's not that I don't want to behave like them. It's I don't want to be punished like them. So again, that's Rashi, that's Radak. Two different ways of understanding that pasuk. Pasuk 4. Tein lahem kapo'alam Hashem. Pay them back for according to their deeds. In other words, give them the punishment that they deserve. Ukuroam alehem kemase yedeim tein lahem hashev gemulam lahem. Which again, which is all a nice way of saying, pay them back for their wickedness. Right? Give them what they deserve. Make them sleep in the bed that they make. Pasuk 5, ki lo yavinu al pi'ulas Hashem, because they aren't aware of the pi'ulas Hashem, of the workings of Hashem, ve'el ma'aseh yadav, and the workings of your hand, yehersem ve'lo yivneim. Now this is an interesting word. Yehersem, if you look up 99.9% of the Mefarshim here, yehersem means like tear them down, break them apart, ve'lo yivneim, and never build them up. I want to share with you, though, a beautiful interpretation that I saw from the Sefer Arvei Nachal. I don't know who wrote it, but it's in this wonderful Sefer of Chassidish Divrei Torah on Tehillim. And he points out, he says that there are two ways that we serve Hashem. One is through Teva, through nature, right? I go out this morning, saw the sunrise, the birds are chirping, nice breeze, and I look up, I say, Ma Rabu Masech Hashem, Hashem, how great is your creations? That's one way of relating to Hashem. The other way of relating to Hashem, we know, is when Hashem overrides nature, right? Kriyas Yamsuf, the 10 plagues, 6-day war, right? Certain miraculous events which definitively describe the nature of Hashem. Says the Sefer very beautifully. He says that there are those, Sheina Mistaka B'Maseh Hashem, that they don't pay attention to the ways of Hashem. In other words, they don't look at nature. Right? They don't look at nature. And then he says, but, right, v'gam yeharsem, not only do they not pay attention to nature, but they also yeharsem. Hakinu yishev el ma'aseh yadav, haynu gam be'ez Hashem, horeis hateva. Right? Yeharsem means to tear down. Even when Hashem breaks teva, even when Hashem breaks nature, Va'osa niflaot chutz miteva, Hashem makes extraordinary miracles. Again, splitting of the sea and the 10 plagues, right? Velo yivneim. Yivneim, he says, doesn't mean build, but it means like bina. They don't pay attention. Shegam al ze einem mistaklim lahavin, ve'ein lahem takana. They don't even pay attention to that. So it's not even that they don't mention Hashem in nature. It's not only that they don't pay attention to Hashem when they go out in the morning and they wake up and they see that their heart beats and they're able to go to the bathroom, things that you and I speak about all the time, the natural miracles that exist all around us every second of the day. But he says, but even when Yeharsem, even when Hashem breaks nature, and the miracle is so obvious, it stares you right in the face, v'lo yivneim, even then, they don't pay attention. So again, that's definitely not classically how the Mefarshim understand it, but I thought that was a beautiful interpretation nonetheless. On the pasuk right before, where David HaMelech is talking about paying them back what they deserve, listen to this interesting insight from the Malbim. He says, "Bikesh yishalim lahem Hashem mida keneged mida." He wants them to pay them back tit for tat, mida keneged mida. Kemoshu dabru ti echad bepev echad b'leiv. The same way David HaMelech says, my enemies speak one thing to my face, but another thing in their heart. He says, I want you, Hashem, to do the same thing, right? I want you to speak one thing in your mouth and one thing in your heart. In other words, you should appear to them, right? Sheyadam elahem shehashem osek livnosa. Hashem, make them think that you're helping them. But the truth is, laharos osam velo livnosam, but really be knocking them down. Right, one of the tricks in Hashem's toolbox is that when we see wicked people prosper in being successful, so we think that means that Hashem is giving them a pass. What the Malbim is saying is no, what really Hashem is doing is Hashem is not giving them any criticism so that they don't improve themselves. Right? If you work in a law firm and your partners don't pay attention to you at all, they never call you in, they never offer you advice, they're never... Then I got news for you. It's a bad sign. If you work in a law firm and your boss is giving you a hard time, and he's pushing you beyond your limits, and he's showing you what you're capable of, even if he might be hard on you sometimes, that's the best sign out there. Because that means that he sees potential in you. He sees that you're capable of far more, and so he wants to bring out that potential in you. That's what Hashem, when Hashem gives us Musar, when Hashem sometimes makes things a little bit difficult for us, it's not to crush us, but it's actually to reveal within us certain capabilities that we may not have previously been aware of. If Hashem doesn't care about you at all, that's the greatest insult, because it's Hashem shows that he doesn't even view you as having any potential. And so that's what David HaMelech is saying here. In other words, speak one thing to your mouth. Let them think they're successful. Let them think they're building great buildings and wealth and kavod and honor, right? But really, what are you doing? You're not protecting them, right? Think about it. A fever is the greatest gift we have. Because when we have a fever, it's an indication that something is wrong with us, and so we can go get antibiotics and fix it. Without the fever, we'd be in a lot of trouble. So Hashem sometimes gives us the fever, but it's a good sign. David HaMelech says, not to my enemies. To my enemies, don't give them the fever. Just let them keep getting sick. Right? Let them keep getting sick so that they can't improve themselves. Pasuk 6, the final pasuk of this section. I'm sorry, this is really the turning point where David HaMelech says, Baruch Hashem, ki shama kol tachnunai. Right? Thank you, Hashem, because you have listened to my voice. Now, this is interesting, because in Pasuk 3, 4, 5, David HaMelech was crying out to Hashem. In Pasuk 6, David HaMelech says, ah, Baruch Hashem, you saved me. That happened in one Pasuk. So the Mefarshim point out, you want to know how David HaMelech could be so confident? Because when you're going through a really difficult time, when you're going through an enormous challenge in life, just knowing that Hashem is there, just knowing that someone is listening and cares, that in and of itself is a form of salvation. When you're going through a difficult time and nobody notices and nobody cares, that loneliness is the most catastrophic part. But when someone comes over and they lend you an ear and they're able to help you a little bit, right? Even if they might not have been able to solve your problem, just the fact that there's someone there with you, that makes all the difference in the world. And so some of the Mefarshim point out, you want to know what David HaMelech gets the confidence from right now? It's the recognition that Hashem is always close to him. It's the recognition that Hashem never abandons him. Pasuk 7, David says, Hashem, Uzi u'magini bo, Hashem, you are my strength, you are my protection. Batach libi, I place my trust in him. V'ne'ezarti, and he helped me out. V'yaloz libi, and my heart is overwhelmed with joy. Umishirei ahodenu, and with my song I will glorify him. David HaMelech is happy now. He wants to share it with the world. He wants to scream it from a mountaintop. Thank you, Hashem, for saving me. Adonai oz lamo umaoz yeshuos meshichohu. Right, Hashem is our strength. He is the deliverance for Meshichohu, for the anointed one here. Obviously talking about David HaMelech, who is David Meshicho. And then finally, Hoshia Samecha, Uvarech Es Nachlasecha Hashem, save your people, bless your Nachala, Ureim Venaseim Ad HaOlam, right? Those are language of, like, lifting up. Nasaim is a language of lifting up. So we're asking Hashem to bring us up to a higher level than we were previously. So again, you see, it's not a very long chapter of Tehillim. It's pretty evenly defined into a couple of sections, right? You have that first section where David HaMelech is asking Hashem, please listen to my tefillah. You have the tefillah itself where there's this enemy. We're not sure who the enemy is yet. Again, the Malbim said, maybe it's Sheva ben Bichri, maybe it was the Zifim, right? We're not exactly sure who it is, but he's bothered by something that they do. Clearly, pshat in the pasuk is that he's bothered by the hypocrisy of what they're saying to him versus what they're doing to him. And then finally, David HaMelech feels that he has been saved, and so he's singing praise to Hashem for the fact that he has been saved. I'll share with you a quick Dvar Torah that I saw, and then we'll get to, I guess, the broader themes. The pasuk says, Hashem uzi umagini. Uzi means that he has helped me. Magini means that he has, like, protected me. So the Noam Elimelech in Parshas Vayeshev has a beautiful idea. He says, what does it mean, uzi umagini? Uz means strength. Magin, lahagain, magain David Adom, means to protect. He says those are different things. When we refer to Hashem as uzi, Hashem is my strength. He says it doesn't mean that Hashem gives you strength. It means that sometimes Hashem deals with you with strength. Right? Sometimes Hashem is hard on us. Sometimes Hashem, picture the description of the law firm that I gave a few minutes ago. Sometimes your boss is hard on you. Then when your boss wants to push you and to reveal within you certain capabilities that you didn't believe you had up until that point, so they're hard on you, right? That says the Noam Elimelech is ha'oz. Hashem sometimes is hard on us. Think about what we said previously in the word gat, right? Lamnatzeach ala gitis, we said this morning in the Shir Shalyom. So if you remember, Hirsch had that beautiful interpretation that a gas is a wine press. That even though you're crushing the grapes, it's to make them better over the long run. That's what Hashem does to us, right? We do that to our children, our grandchildren, not really grandchildren. That's the advantage of being a grandparent. You never have to be the bad guy. But parents, we have to be the bad guys sometimes, right? We have to be hard on our children. We have to make them do things that they don't want to do because we believe we're teaching them skills that's going to make them better in the long run. So we're O's. We have to show strength sometimes, even if our children don't like it. Hashem shows strength to us sometimes, even if we don't like it. What's Magini? Magini is that even when Hashem protects me, in other words, even when I feel close to Hashem, even when I feel Hashem enveloping me. So says the Noam Elimelech, V'zeh Perush Hashem Uzi U'Magini, Rotza Lomar, Hein Hadavar Ha'oz, even when Hashem is strong with us, Shehu Hitnagdut La'Vodaso Yisbarach, which puts me at odds with Hashem, so to speak. It creates a distance between me and Hashem. V'hein Hadavar Shehu Magini, or when Hashem is that protection, Hashem is that shield that surrounds me on all sides. Dahainu Amitzo Shehu Magini Makol, Hu Hashem Shemevi Anu Lekai Mitzos Bezirus Yoser. Right, it's all for the same purpose, which is that Hashem is getting us to fulfill His mitzvos with more alacrity, that Hashem is getting us to become better people. He's trying to inspire us. Okay, all of that is going through the Perek, and I hope I've given you at least a short overview of the chapter. It's a relatively not popular chapter, again, with the exception of that ninth pasuk, the final pasuk, of Hoshea es amecha uvarach es nachasecha. What is this chapter talking about? So I want to share with you a unbelievable understanding of the Radak. And we need to tease it out a little bit. I didn't know that I fully appreciated the Radak when I saw it the first time. But it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Says the Radak the following. The last four psukim don't make sense. Right? The first psukim are prospective. David HaMelech says, Hashem, I'm going through a difficulty. Please listen to my tefillah. Psukim 3 through 6, 3 through 5 really, is he's in the middle of the difficulty. And then all of a sudden we go to the end, and you are retrospective at that point. So, is there anything unique about this chapter? Is it just a generic chapter of Tehillim? What exactly is going on here? Says the Radak the following. V'chein hu, ki ba'acharis yamav, ha'isa siba me'is Hashem shenishbu anashav, shelo yetze od imahem l'melchama. Says the Radak, this is referring to a very specific story in Tanakh. And it comes from Shmuel Bet, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk 15. Okay. Now, again, if only we could study all of Shmuel together with Sefer Tehillim, that would probably be the wise way to do it. But let me give you the short 2-minute version of it. David HaMelech is at the end of his life, or at the end of the run, basically. The Plishtim wage war against the Jewish people. Vatihi od milchama lePlishtim et Yisrael. Right, so there's a war again. Vayere David v'avadav imo vayilachamu es plishtim vayaf David. So David HaMelech goes to battle against the plishtim, and David HaMelech vayaf, right, ayef means that David HaMelech gets tired. He's older at this point. Vayishbi binov ashir b'lidei harafah mishkol kino. Right, so again, anyways, it was they had a very heavy sword. And what were they going to do with this sword? Vayomer lahakoses David. They said, we are going to use this spear that's very large and very heavy, and we are going to strike David. We are going to get to David. Okay? And you see here, Rashi over there says that it was customary on the first day of a battle to kill someone very prominent. Right? That was like the way of showing your strength. So they were going to go, and they were going to kill David. So what happens? Vayazar lo Avishai ben Tsruya. So Avishai ben Tsruya comes, Vayachas haplishti v'imiseu. So before this plishti can come and kill David, this is chapter 28 of Tehillim. So Avishai comes and kills this plishti, right? Az, so what happens afterwards? David HaMelech, his life was about to be taken because of this plishti. Thank God Avishai comes and is able to kill the plishti before the plishti gets to David. But what is the consequence of this? Az nishbu anshe David. David HaMelech's men took a shvua. They promised at that point in time, Lemor, lo teitze od itanu lemilchama velo techabe esner Yisrael. Right, David HaMelech was not just a king. David HaMelech was a general. He led people into battle. Acharai, come with me. And they realized at that moment in time that it was no longer safe for David to go into battle. That it was no longer safe for David to be the general. Right, shelo tichabe esner Yisrael. So that the lamp of Israel will not be extinguished. Namely, David HaMelech here. They were worried about David HaMelech. And so you know what they did? They forced David HaMelech into retirement. Can you imagine? Can you believe it? It's not just in our day and age when your company wants to downsize and they force you into retirement. Right? David HaMelech, one of our greatest leaders, was forced into retirement. Where people said to him, it's time to hang up the gloves. Right? It's time to put down the paperwork. Right? Enjoy life a little bit, David. You don't have to be leading us into every battle. And so says the Radak, this is what we are talking about here. When David HaMelech says, Baruch Hashem, ki shama kol tachnunai, David HaMelech is essentially thanking Hashem for having protected him all these years. He's reflecting as he enters into retirement. Right? We're talking about retirement here. Isn't that amazing? So now let's read the Radak again. V'chein haya ki b'acharis yamav, that at the end of his life, it's when his friends took a shvua that he will no longer go into battle. And so David HaMelech starts singing praise to Hashem. Uzi, umagini, shatzilu miyoshve benov. He says, Hashem, thank you. You saved me. You protected me all of these years. Right? Venezarti vayaloz libi. And here's the most amazing part. David HaMelech says, you helped me, and I will now sing out to you. Right? My heart rejoices, and I will now sing out to you. Says the Radak, what are we talking about here? Where does David HaMelech sing out to Hashem? Says the Radak, it means that when David HaMelech retired, he wrote Sefer Tehillim. Think about that. When David HaMelech retired, he wrote Sefer Tehillim. That is the Mishiri Ahudenu. That with my song, I will sing praise to you. David HaMelech says, I'm now retired, and so I'm moving on to the next project in my life. I'm not just simply going to sit around and watch Netflix and play Mahjong, and I don't know, what do retired people do? I don't know, I ask you guys, right? I'm not, right? He says, I'm not just going to do that all day, right? I'm going to use my time in a meaningful fashion. I'm going to dedicate it to Hashem. Listen to the words of this Radak, And if you're retired on this Zoom right now or on Facebook Live, you must read this Radak over and over and over again. It is so powerful. Says the Radak, V'nezarti ve'aloz libi. David HaMelech's not thanking Hashem for being saved from death. Because of course you thank Hashem for being saved from death. There's no chiddush there. There's no novel idea if David HaMelech is thanking Hashem for being saved from death. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry can thank Hashem for being saved to death. There's nothing impressive about that. Ela perusho ve'aloz libi, sichli. He says that you like my mind. Sheba oso siba nishbu anshe, shelo aitzelim melchama od. V'sama chaseichel, David HaMelech says, that my brain rejoiced. My there's a menuchas hanefesh that I have. Shenifrad me'iske olam. David HaMelech says I don't have to go to work anymore. Shinifrad, I'm removed, me'iske ha'olam, from the work of the world. I don't have to clock in 9 to 5 anymore. I don't have to worry about my commute anymore. David HaMelech says, I have more free time. V'yihye lo panai. I have free time now. Li'isaseik. And what am I going to spend doing with my time, says David HaMelech? Bedarche Elokim. I'm going to spend my time focused on Hashem. developing my relationship with Hashem, giving over my talents and skills towards Hashem. And therefore, says the Radak, Lefichach etein lo hoda. Therefore, Hashem, I'm giving you praise. Umima etein lo, and what do I give? How do I give praise to you? Mishiri ahodenu bishirosai uvizimrosai. Through Tehillim. Through writing of Tehillim. And so, says the Radak, what is this chapter about? This chapter is about retirement. This chapter is about how do we use our free time, which I wrote about in our weekly just a few weeks ago. And that how we use that free time says absolutely everything about us. There's a famous Miami Boys Choir song from a number of years ago. Lo nisavu achachamim ve'anavim limos ha-mashiach, right? Even on a national level, why do we look forward to Yimos Mashiach? Why do we crave a messianic period? So says the Maimer Chazal, it's not so that we can, I believe it's a Rambam, it's not so that we can just not have war, and it's not just so that there'll be no more anti-Semitism, those are all great. Right? What's the real reason we want Yimos Mashiach? Ela kedei sheyiyu pnuyim batora uvechachmasa. Right? What do we want? That serenity, that tranquility, that peacefulness, right? What do we want it for? Ela sheyu pnuyim batorah, so that we can learn Torah. Uvechachmasa, that we can dedicate and devote our lives to meaningful pursuits. And so yes, for so much of our day, in so much of our lives, we don't have a choice. We have to make money, right? That's the nature of the world, and we're caught up in that rat race. But it's how do we spend the time in between, right? Whether we're talking about retirement, which is in David Amel's case, which is obviously very apropos, or for those who aren't retired, we also have free time, right? For all of us on the Zoom, we are going to be off from work tomorrow, right? Whether you're working or not. How do we spend that time? We have a day each week called Shabbos, where it's actually prohibited to worry about work. How do we spend that time? Are we just catching up on the latest New York Times and Wall Street Journal and reading about the markets and, right? Or are we using that time to nourish our neshamas, to nourish our souls? And so says the Radak, and again, I'm obviously extrapolating the Radak a little bit, but that this chapter of Tehillim is all about how David HaMelech chose his free time. What was he yearning? What did he crave? And so yes, David HaMelech was a very busy man. He was a general and he was a king and he had many obligations. But the moment he had a second of free time, what did he want to do? He wanted to devote it, lisasek bedarchei Elokim. He wanted to devote it towards Hashem. I think that for me, I found personally very powerful. Again, I wrote about it a few weeks ago, but this chapter and this comment of the Radak really resonated with me. Really resonated with me, and I'm not even retired, although, who knows, maybe I'll win the lottery tomorrow and I'll join many of you. But I have to play the lottery to win it, so that's not happening. But but every one of us has free time. Every one of us has moments in our lives which define how do we really view work, right? Is work what I run towards, or is work something that I have to do, but the moment I don't have to do it, so I'd rather enter into pursuits of other things. And so, yes, I give all of you a lot of credit because you're coming on Shirim, so many faces that are familiar between Parsha classes and Tehillim classes and afternoon kolos. And I give you all an enormous amount of credit because there are plenty of retirees in the world that aren't spending their time doing this thing. And it's literally havel havalim the way they spend their time. So David HaMelech says, Hashem, thank you. All those years I was caught up in the rat race, you protected me. Now you have afforded me the opportunity of retirement. I'm going to spend my time wisely. And so David HaMelech comes and he writes Sefer Tehillim. I think this also explains that final pasuk of Oshia esamecha uvarachas nachasecha ureim v'naseim ad haolam. Right, and we said that the words ureim v'naseim is, I thought, was a language of like elevation. Right, and I think the reason is, and why that's such a fitting end and conclusion to this chapter of Tehillim, is because what we're doing is we're striving. We're seeking to grow. We're seeking to improve ourselves. We're constantly seeking to elevate ourselves. Why is this said on a national level? Right? It's not in the singular anymore. Now it's in the plural. Hoshia es amecha, Hashem, your entire nation. Because that's what we as a nation should always be doing. We're always aspiring. We're always seeking to grow. We're always striving for more. And I think that in our generation, more than any other generation, this is the most relevant pasuk now. Because for many thousands of years, Jews could not choose how to spend their time. right? They had to work literally until the death. There was no retirement. There was no 401ks, right? We live in unquestionably the most affluent society ever known to the Jewish people, unquestionably, right? We have more religious freedom. We have more affluence as a community as a whole than at any singular other moment in world history. Think about that. And so what this chapter of Tehillim challenges us is, how are we going to utilize that, right? How will we apply that freedom? How will we apply that affluence? What are we going to do with the fact that you and I live in a once in a history moment in time? How are we going to use that religious freedom? How are we going to use that free time? How are we going to use that affluence and the freedoms that come with it? Right? That is the challenge of all this. So it's not just about retirement. But I think if you broaden the theme, it's about a lot more than that. It's about evaluating our priorities. It's about taking a step back and say, what does time mean for me? And when I have more of it, how am I going to use it? What types of pursuits am I going to run after? How am I going to spend my time? Ultimately, what are my priorities? So with that, we study chapter 28 of Tehillim. Again, as I said, not a very well-known chapter of Tehillim, but hopefully, and what I try to do in this class, is by the end show you just how relevant it is for every single one of us. I hope you found it meaningful. I know I did as well. And so with that, I want to wish everyone a beautiful day. And as we said on Behind the Bima last night, good riddance. You see my image right here. Good riddance to 2020. I can't wait for that one to come. With that, we say by Rosh Hashanah, right? Tich l'shana v'kiloseh v'tachal shana b'rchaseh. So we could apply it to the secular Gregorian New Year's as well, right? Let all of the challenges of 2020 be gone, and let 2021 secularly be a year of good health and happiness and togetherness for us and for the entire world. Everyone have a wonderful